If you're planning a trip to Japan, make sure you do it right because you probably won't get another chance. For most of us, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Now, firstly, excuse my pronunciation of Japanese words. A lot of cruisers mess up by not seeing the best parts and experiencing the culture fully, so it's super important to pick a cruise that stops at a lot of Japanese ports. I suggest going for a 7 to 10 day cruise. Keep in mind that you'll lose a day of cruising in Japan because the ship has to make a stop in a foreign port like Busan in South Korea. Also, make sure to plan ahead and figure out what you want to see in each port so you don't miss out on anything cool. I saw a bunch of folks on my cruise who were whining by the end about seeing the same old stuff over and over again on their excursions. They were just visiting shrine after shrine after shrine. From my own experiences, I believe there are a few must-see sights and experiences when you're in port. Make sure to mix it up and plan accordingly. Definitely check out about the atomic bombs that were dropped on Japan by the USA. You can visit two stops on a lot of cruises, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They both have peace memorial parks. In Hiroshima, you'll see the famous Atomic Peace Dome, and in Nagasaki, there's a statue of a man pointing to the sky. And don't forget to visit the museums there too. I'm a real history buff, so this was very interesting for me. But I do understand it might not be everyone's cup of tea, and the Nagasaki Museum is more about facts and less about feelings. While it's nice to see shrines and temples in every port, I suggest focusing on the really cool or impressive ones. Take a day trip to Kyoto. It's worth it, even though it's a bit of a journey from Kobe or Osaka, where your cruise ship docks. In Kyoto, you can see the famous Golden Pavilion covered in gold leaf and the Sanjusangan Buddhist Temple with 1,001 statues of the Goddess of Mercy. It's a must-see. If you go to Shimizu, make sure to visit the Kunozan Toshogu Shrine. You'll need to take a cable car on the Nihondaira ropeway to get there, but it sure beats climbing 1,000 stone steps. The city has this cool shrine called Medi Shrine that's dedicated to the Emperor, who is basically like the father of modern Japan. It's tucked away in this awesome forest with over 120,000 trees. There are a bunch of other trips you can take to see shrines, but I learned that it's smart to make sure the ones you visit are really important and special because they all start to look the same after a while. Oh, and don't forget to check out some castles. They're kind of like shrines in that some are way cooler than others. Like in Osaka, for instance, Osaka Castle is my favourite. It's got huge grounds, massive walls, and even a moat. You can even climb up the castle building for a rad view of the city. The castle is seriously impressive, and it's one of the last original ones still standing from the 17th century. Check out the view from the top. It's amazing. In Tokyo, there's the cool Hamaara Yakud Gardens, right in the middle of the city with tall buildings all around. It used to be a lord's home back in the day, and there are still some old tea houses there. And in Hiroshima, you must visit the Shokin Japanese gardens that were made 400 years ago and then carefully fixed up again after the atomic bomb in Nagasaki. So when you're at Aoshima Island, make sure to check out the Cool Devil's Washboard, where the waves have created these awesome grid patterns in the sandstone. It's not just any shrine. There are some seriously impressive landscapes and natural sights that you won't want to miss. Now, here are a few important tips to keep in mind when planning your sightseeing. These popular spots are a must-see for everyone, whether you're traveling by land or sea, which means they can get pretty crowded, especially when cruise tours are in town. The best times to visit are spring, March to April for the cherry blossoms, and autumn, September to November. So be prepared for some busy times when you're there too. One thing that caught me off guard during my trip was how much work it took to really dive into the local culture. So be prepared for that. When I went on a cruise to Japan, it was super easy to get stuck in a tourist bubble. The tours and attractions were mostly geared towards tourists and weren't near any local shops or restaurants. This was made worse by the fact that a lot of the cruise ports were in industrial areas, not in the city centre. The only exception was a few places like Nagasaki. You can't just wander around the neighbourhoods near the port, except maybe the shopping centre. And on the cruise, they only serve their regular food, so you should definitely go out and try some local restaurants. A lot of ports had shuttle buses ready to take you to a nearby spot. And there were taxis available if you wanted to go further out. Sometimes there were even more people at the shuttle bus stops who were willing to lend a hand. I noticed that the Japanese were super friendly to tourists. Not only would they give you directions, but they'd often take you right to where you needed to go. Japan has a lot of rules, mainly about being respectful to others. Everywhere I looked, there were signs with tons of rules, and the Japanese really want us to follow them. I noticed a lot of rules, especially in and around ports, that seem to be targeting us and our Western habits. Like, it's not cool to talk loudly in public areas, and it's a big no-no to be on phone calls, listen to music without headphones on the metro or public transport, do FaceTime calls, or watch videos without using earphones. If only we could have these on the number 34 bus. Tipping isn't really a thing in Japan. I noticed that if you try to leave money in a restaurant, they'll give it back, thinking you left it by accident. But tour guides are starting to get more comfortable with getting tips. If you're flying in directly from the UK, then you'll need at least a night in Japan before your cruise, mainly to get used to the time difference. I personally like to have a good 4 or 5 days exploring Tokyo before getting on the ship. Once off, I'll head to either Kyoto or Osaka for a few days before flying home. It really depends on how much time you have and if Japan is part of a longer trip. Now, some people ask, why don't you travel around Japan by train? And it's true, Japan has some of the best trains in the world, and that works great if you're doing Tokyo and maybe two other places like Kyoto or Osaka. But if you want to travel around a bit more and don't want to pack up every few days, cruising is the best way. Plus, if you're not sure how you'll get on with the local food, it's good to know there's everything you like back on board. Also, Japan can be an expensive country for hotels, trains, and eating out. So having it all bundled together up front means I know how much I've spent. If you're planning a trip to Japan, the best way is to speak with one of our cruise gurus. They'll help you plan and book your perfect cruise. Get in touch using the links in the show notes or visit rocktheboat.travel. That's rocktheboat, all one word, .travel, and one of the team will be in touch.